Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Usually I'm in the studio because for those of you that listen all the time to my shows, you know that I am the morning guy and I'm up and about. Well, it was about, I guess, really, about 2 below 0 this morning. And I just said, I was up, but I said, I'm going to stay in a little bit before I head off to the studio. So here I am, late afternoon, not typical for me, but here we go. Here's a great story to start with about this awesome animal, and it's one that I've told before. I'm with my research team. We're way up in the Rockies. After a long day covering many miles on the trail, it's time to set up camp, dinner by the fire, and that's one of my favorite things in the world to do, and then climb into my sleeping bag in my tent. I get woken very shortly after that by the howl of a coyote right outside of camp. He just kept moving and howling a little closer. He was probably no more than 50 feet from my tent, and he continued to howl. And for me, it's the call, the sound. It is so awesome. Some may have fear, but me, I just simply have respect. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So let's take a closer look at this cool creature about, let's just call it some creature features. Hey, I like that. You know what? I'll start to use that from now. Now, the general color. For color, the term we use for animals is phase. So like, what phase is he in? And some animals have many phases. How about we go grayish brown to yellowish brown and whitish fur on the underside? But there's cousins. Hey, I love cousins. I have many cousins. But there's the eastern and the western coyote. If we're going to distinguish them, the eastern, it's white chins, throats, bellies. And the western, let's go to its color phase. It's got a neat one. It's a reddish orange phase. Now, they both have a black nose, yellow eyes, and a long, bushy tail. Now, think about, if you're going to say the size of a coyote, whether you have a dog or not, think about like a medium-sized dog, and they fall into that weight category, 20 to 50 pounds. 50 is getting up there. Even if you have a dog, I guess 50 pounds for some of you might be a very, very large dog. Well, my cousin, they grew up with some Great Danes. So I just sort of in my mind go, dogs weigh a lot more, but you know, that's in the upper size. Just, hey, I guess it's my thoughts about that. Where would you find the populations of coyotes? Well, first let's say this. Where there are large populations of wolves, the coyote population is often small. And that sort of makes sense, because now you're running into two top predators and one's a little bit larger than you. So I think we'll make way. Now, you could tell a difference in the way that they run. So if you're looking at, and like you're saying, was that a coyote? Was that a wolf? Because I do mean this. If they're at a distance, you might be like going, well, what do I have there? And well, the coyote, when he's running, his tail is down. The wolf, his tail is straight out. Now, did I see a small coyote, a large coyote? Did I see an adult coyote, or is that a young wolf? Like, see, sometimes at those distances, what am I trying to do? Well, let's take a look. If I can check out their ears, if they're close enough, the coyote's ears are tall and pointed, and they really are cool looking ears. Absolutely. And the wolf, and I'm not knocking a wolf because, hey, I'm a wolf lover there, you know, my research. The wolf's ears are short and rounded. Now, here I am. I'm doing my grizzly bear research. We're way up in the Rockies where our camp is set up about 12,000 feet. We're even going to go higher and onto some glaciers on the next day. So we're there by the camp, and I'm looking down into this valley, and I called it the golf course. No, there was no golfing going on. We were in the middle of nowhere, USA. We were actually in an area where if we deemed it critical grizzly bear habitat, no one else would be going to this place ever again, and it was. So I am one of the last humans that's ever been set foot. Different story, different day. Anyway, in this golf course in my mind, because that's when I looked down, this is what it looked like. There was a nursery of elk, cows, and calves. So they're just out there feeding, and they're just having the greatest time. And over the hill comes two coyotes. In an instant, and it's just this awesome defensive posture by the cows. They pack all the calves in. The cows are standing in a circle, like all the way on the outside of the circle are the cows. And they're just standing there one by one by one. Just think about this as going in a circle. And it's like defensive linemen in football, and you're just standing there. And the two coyotes, and it's almost like they were playful, coming in and going, hey, if I can get a meal out of this, this is going to be great. And they'd come stalking up, but their stalking really wasn't true stalkitis, because the way they're doing it is like, hey, we're already ready for you. It's like playing hide and seek and you're cheating. Well, I don't cheat, but hey. Anyway, it's like, so they're trying to stalk a little closer, same way. And when they got probably within, I'd say, 20, 30 feet of this nursery, all of a sudden, one of the cows, the elks, would come racing out at them, and the coyotes would run off. And the elk would actually back herself, boop, boop, would actually back herself up into that little space that she had left. And then the coyotes would come out from another angle, and they'd try again. And I'm just sitting up there, cup of tea, and I'm watching this. And they're going, this is great. Except that, hey, I already knew the coyotes wouldn't be successful. I think they already knew they would not, because they are great hunters. And this was just, maybe it was a challenge, don't know. And maybe after about, I'd say, probably close to an hour, then they went off and they were gone. And the calves went back to feeding. Now, during my wolf research, if we needed to locate a pack, we would often go out at night and we would do howling. We do howling studies. And you know what? We would howl, and then the wolf pack would howl back in defense of their territory. And this is how we could locate the entire pack. Well, if you're out there and you're going, did I hear a coyote or did I hear a wolf? Well, a coyote is a higher pitched, and it usually starts with a few yips. So you might hear like yip, yip, and then you hear the howl. Now, the wolf usually howls for a longer duration in time. I'm going to say that either one out in the wild is a great thing to hear. It depends on where you live, because, hey, the range of coyotes is throughout the U.S., continental U.S., Canada, Mexico. So just about anywhere you go, you will hear a coyote. Wolves, you're going to have to find specific regions of our countries. So going out at night or camping and being out at night, hey, even night hikes, you will hear that coyote that's out there. Now, here's the cool thing about the coyote. They've adapted, and they can live in many types of ecosystems, from the plains to the forests to deserts to mountains. And sad to say, they're adapting to cities because humans, we keep encroaching on their habitats. And you know me, and I discuss this, and I say this all the time because it's what I truly believe as an environmental scientist. We need to protect and preserve habitats. And the more habitat that we take up of wild animals, well, the closer we're going to see them. Hey, think about this one. From time to time, even in New York City, a coyote makes it into the city. So we have some protecting and preserving to do. Now, I was finished with some of my research out in Idaho. It was out in the sagebrush steppe with some non-native plant species research. I'm going to meet up with a few friends, and I'm going to guide them through Yellowstone National Park, my favorite place on Earth. Literally, it is my favorite place on Earth. So, where it's early evening, a few of us are going out to look for wildlife, and we get to this one little meadow, and there's a coyote hunting. And he's hunting, nose to the ground, sniffs out a mouse, and he's just like a fox, because foxes do this too, and I always joke about this one. You are always taught not to play with your food. Well, coyotes and foxes, when it comes to mice, they play with their food. If you remember from the movie The Lion King and the pouncing lessons, they will actually stalk, pounce with two front paws, just sort of squash the mouse for a little bit, let them up, let them squirt out, jump out, and then pounce on them again. And yes, they do play with their foods. So here we are. And again, I could see this every single night and just be excited about it. Well, the folks I am with are not, again, they like nature, but they're not huge outdoors men and women. And they're just watching this. I think they had just as big a ball watching it as the coyote did as he was playing with the mouse. And again, eventually the mouse did become a little hors d'oeuvre for him. Well, they're considered omnivores. They are primarily carnivorous in what they eat. They love rabbits, and we talked about rodents. How about snakes? Like, I love snakes. Not to eat, I guess, but their diet's a little bit different than mine. If they're near water, frogs. Hey, frogs work. Birds. There are many birds, you know, grouse and things, that even roost on the ground. And since coyotes mainly hunt at night, yeah, they're going to find some of these birds at night. And fall and spring, coyotes will actually become berry eaters as well. When they are hunting larger prey, and I'll give you an example, they're hunting down a white-tailed deer, they're going to hunt as packs. And it's this tag team effort. And you want to watch this because it is almost like I'm going to start the chase and you're downfield by about 50 yards, 100 yards, and I'm going to chase. And the white-tail, by the way, they are real fast, but they're not going to want to run real fast, get into white twitch muscle fiber and twitch muscle fiber. We don't need to get into the science behind their muscular structure. But, well, as they begin to tire, I've already chased them down to you, where you now begin, because now you've got full speed, full wind. And by hunting in a pack, we can take down a larger animal. You see, if I'm hunting alone, well, then I get to eat what I, you know, hunted down. When I am hunting down as a pack, pack share, and yes, there is a alpha order that goes along and subordinates that goes along with that. And you see, I hope in my next camping adventure, I can hear the awesome howl outside my camp of the coyote. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures.
You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.